My name's Michelle O'Roon, and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 18th of August 2009. The time is 3:21 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
Yes, I'm Olwyn Parker. I'm 55, and I come from the Isle of Wight.
How are you?
How am I? Very good.
Looking forward
yes.
to it.
Yes. Is it just sound?
It's just audio.
Okay,
sound.
Right, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear the last question.
Okay. How did you get here from now?
Okay, sorry. On the boat, Red Funnel to Southampton, which takes an hour, and then the car, I'm drove straight up here because I've got lots of stuff to carry. It was just too cumbersome by train.
How long have you lived on the Isle of Wight?
22 years. I lived in North London before that and then Wales before that.
What prompted the move to the Isle of Wight?
My husband grows tomatoes, and we had a nursery in Waltham Abbey in North London, and it was quite a small nursery, and they wanted to expand, him and his partner. And the South Coast has the best light, so they wanted somewhere in the South Coast. So they were looking everywhere, kind of Southampton area, really, and the tomato nursery came up on the Isle of Wight, and so we moved there. So it was kind of random. In Shanklin, overlooking Sandown Bay. It's lovely.
Could you just give me a little mental sketch of that? What's it
okay.
like?
Okay. Ah, lovely. Our house backs onto the cliff path, and from my bedroom window, I have my curtains open anyway in my bedroom all night, and when I get up, first thing I see is the sea and White Cliff Bay, which is on the top of Sandown Bay. So it's a kind of a very large sort of circular bay. And at the moment, there are a lot of boats out there because car carriers from Southampton, because cars aren't being sold, etc. And so rather than being in docks, they sit out in the bay. So there must be about 8 or 9 boats out there. And some of them have been out there for about 3 or 4 months. So normally it's kind of quite quiet in the bay, but at the moment there's lots of huge boats out there. And once a year, there's an Isle of Wight race, and there's over 2,000 competitors that sail around the island, and it's really pretty at that time because all these little boats come past with really pretty bright sails, and they come sailing past the bay, and it's really lovely to watch, you know, stream after stream of little boats.
Are you working?
No, I'm not. I was a teacher when I was in Waltham Abbey, and then when we moved to the island, I was expecting my first son Lloyd, who's 22. And that's why I know how long I've lived there, because he was born then a few months after we moved there. And my husband worked very long hours because he was setting up the tomato nursery. And having moved to the island and my husband working kind of like 12 hours a day pretty well, if I'd worked, I thought it was just so unfair on the children, really, so I didn't. So that's the reasons. And now I'm in an awkward position because Lloyd George, my youngest, is now 17, and I'm now 55, and now what do I do for employment help?
What are you going to do with your hour on the plinth?
Right, well, my thought process started really because George, my 17-year-old, and myself put in for the plinth, and he hasn't been chosen. I thought, actually, what he would really love is to see something to do with Southampton Football Club up there. And also, it was meant to be a snapshot of Britain. So I thought, well, I would kind of incorporate my life, but not sort of like, oh, I was born here and baked oats are boring, but just pick out interesting, fun bits or things that people could relate to. And so I've got 6 flags, and I was born in South Africa, so the South African flag, then moved to Britain, so the British flag, the Welsh flag, because I moved then to Llanelli, and then at Llanelli I supported the Scarlets, so it's the Scarlets flag, and then the Isle of Wight flag, and then finally Southampton Football Club flag. And I also wanted to make it quite pretty and, you know, sort of visual. So my flag heights of the poles are, I've got 3 at 6 metres and 2 at 4 metres. So they're going to be really, I hope they'll be really pretty and fluttering and in the sky. And also I've got some Welsh cakes Because I thought it's nice, quite fun if people are watching, you know, to involve them a bit, and they love being fed and stuff. So my sister from Swansea has made me some Welsh cakes, which I wrapped in foil, so if they do drop them, they can still eat them. And so I shall be throwing that to those people who want them. And also I brought some tomatoes, because my husband grows them, and again, if anyone wants them. And I've made them, I asked my husband to bring nice large ones so that they're easy to throw, like size of large, between a tennis ball and a golf ball.
What are they called, the tomatoes?
I haven't got a clue, you know.
Most tomatoes are in,
I haven't got a
name.
Yes, they do. And I forgot to ask him for the name of them. I haven't got a clue.
Just going back to what you, something you said there, you were born in South Africa.
Yes.
Whereabouts?
In Vereeniging, which is kind of, I suppose, very near Johannesburg, but sort of an hour out of Johannesburg. And my mum and dad moved out there after the war, because my mother fancied either living in Australia or Canada or South Africa, and they plumped for South Africa, so they moved out there as part of a repatriation. And then I lived, and then my two sisters were born there, and we lived there till I was seven. And then the apartheid problem started, and there was quite a bit of unrest about 1962. So that's when we moved back to this country and moved to Wales, where my grandmother lived.
What can you remember about living in South Africa?
I can remember at the outdoors, always outside, and swimming in the outdoor pools, and picking fruit from the fruit trees, and the apricots, you know, picking fresh apricots that were just completely ripe, and eating them with peaches. Lovely.
And then you moved to Wales.
Yes.
You mentioned the Scarlets.
Yes.
Are the Scarlets?
The Scarlets are Llanelli Rugby Club. Yes, Llanelli Rugby Club, basically. And they're kind of quite very important to the town, really. It was based on, Llanelli grew up, really, because of the tin. It was a producer of tin. And the two important things to the town, really, was the tin and later the steel, and the rugby club. And everyone in the town is completely fanatical about the rugby because, you know, that is kind of their life, really. It's, at the moment, it's quite a depressed area, and kind of the rugby is their kind of outlet. And on, it's quite interesting as well, because on the top of the flag, of the poles, you know, the posts rather, where they have the conversion, do the conversion of the goals, they've got little saucepans on top, which represent the tin industry. Because they used to make, you know, saucepans, and, you know, the tin for the saucepans and stuff. And so the song they sing is Saucepan Vach, which means little saucepan. And it's absolutely lovely. It's wonderful. And they've recently moved ground. They were at Stradey Park, rather, for, for about over 100 years. And last year, they just moved ground to one of these very modern, you know, grounds, really, which is great shame, really, because it was, although it was very old, everyone was very fond of it, and it was also right in the centre of the town, well, close walking distance of the town, and now it's in the shopping centre, you know, and it's kind of, you've got to drive to get there, so it's really rather a shame. But everyone says things have to move on, but I think everyone's attached to that ground, really, and it's, you know, want to live, want to stay there, really.
Just coming back to today.
Yes.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
Yes, now I heard about, I read about it in one of the Sunday newspapers absolutely ages ago. And I did, I put my name down to, and they were going to then email me and remind me to, because it was before you could actually submit your name to be selected. And they said, when the time for selection comes, if you want to be reminded, then, you know, send us an email. So I did that. But actually, I didn't get an email or a response. And it was fortuitous, really, because I used to go to Hay on Wye with my younger son, George, and we used to go there like for 5 years running, and it was absolutely wonderful. And that's sponsored by Scarts. And I can't go at the moment because George's got exams and stuff like that. And life's moved on, and it's still awkward to get to it. So in order to keep tabs with what's happening on Hay on Wye and also to keep tabs with what's happening in the literary world, etc., I watch Hay on Sky. And I saw this, the fact that the plinth, you could then apply for the plinth at that point. So I then went onto the website and applied for it.
Why did you want to do it?
It's a matter of pride, I suppose. You know, being part of Britain and kind of part of history, really. That's why I did it. But I must say that I just thought, gosh, it'd be wonderful to be part of it, I suspect, as most people probably say. Because I thought, you know, Trafalgar Square is so historical and there's Nelson standing up there. And I just thought, gosh, that'd be wonderful if my family's represented on the plinth. But when I did it, I thought, I hadn't thought what I was going to do, of course. I just thought, wow, lovely to be part of that. So it's I was picked for the third day. For the third day this project was, you know, running. I was picked and I was really, really dead excited actually, because I thought, wow, I've, you know, amongst all these people I've been picked. And then it was my son's parents' evening. And I think the slot I was picked on was for the first Wednesday at about 6 o'clock in the evening, and there was absolutely no way that I could do two things, because he goes to Portsmouth Grammar School, and there's no way I could do this and then dash to Portsmouth Grammar School. So I thought, oh well, I'll just have to give my place up, and I was completely, completely fed up. And It gave the opportunity on the website to resubmit. So I resubmitted and thought, I will, fine, okay, doesn't matter, you know, I'll just have to give my place. And blow me, the next month I was picked again, so this is my second chance and I'm actually able to take it today. Yeah, and my son hasn't been chosen yet, nor my sister. Oh.
So is anybody going to be watching you on the net?
On the net? Possibly, yes. I think my mother is definitely going to watch. She's 91 years old and she lives in Dibden Purlieu with my sister Fran and Tom, and they're all going to be watching. And my sister, she works as a guide on Nelson's Victory, actually, funnily enough, and she's going to leave work early and go home and watch me on the web live. And there are various other people I think probably are as well, people from the Isle of Wight, friends from the Isle of Wight. But I know those three are definitely going to be there.
And which flags are you taking up with you?
I'm taking a very little South African flag and the Union Jack, the Isle of Wight flag, Southampton Football Club flag, Scarlet's flag and the RNLI flag, that's right, because, and the RNLI I thought was a good idea because, again, you know, associated with Trafalgar Square and the sea, and also we've got a rib, which is a rigid inflatable boat, about 6 metres long, which we keep in Cowes, and it's completely seaworthy, it can take you to France and things, you know, we don't because I'm not brave enough. But when we go to see Southampton Football Club, we go, you know, take from Cowes and go into Southampton and along the River Itchen, hook up at a marina there, and then walk and see the game. It's really good fun. And then when people come and visit us in Portsmouth, if they're coming foot, you know, by foot and not by car, we go into Portsmouth, into Gunwharf Quay there, and we pick them up and then bring them back in our rib. So it's really good fun. And it can go as fast as the Red Jet, which is 40, whatever it is, 40, whatever the speed of boats are, 40 knots. Yes, 40 knots, and, which is quite fast.
Had you done any sailing before you moved to the island?
No, not at all. And actually, and we're not sailors either, and that's why we chose a rib, really, because you can kind of get in it and you can just do it, and, you know, we're sailing 2 years and years to get it perfect, really. But we have done our certificates, so we know what we're doing as far as seaworthiness is concerned.
How would you describe yourself as a person? About your personality?
Oh, gosh. Nervy, I think I am. Definitely nervy. kind of fun, I think, as well, though. And, you know, I don't mind... Yeah, fun, I think, I'd like to describe myself as. And hopefully young at heart as well. Now I'm 55, sounds really old. You know, I know all the kind of words to most of the kind of modern songs because George, I drive to school there, well, to ride, to catch a boat because he goes to Portsmouth. So I drive him there every day and he likes his modern music on. And the youngsters think it's amazing because I know these words, you know, and they say, gosh, your mum's cool. She knows the words to the music. Actually, one of George's friends called me a legend because he said, your mum's a legend, she knows those words. That's nice, isn't it? Called a legend. Yeah.
Have you still got family in South Africa?
No, not at all. We, because as I say, we moved there, my parents moved there after the war, and so there was just my three sisters, Grace and Fran and myself, born there. And then we moved back, and we didn't move, you know, because we was there, it was just us, that was the only family we had there. And so when we moved back, all our family moved back with us. I mean, it was just the five of us. So I don't, and I haven't been back since, you know, since I was seven, so I don't know. I'm sure everyone says it's a beautiful country, but I haven't been back there.
Were you aware at all on any level of what was going on at the time?
Kind of a little bit, really. You're always kind of, I suppose you're always kind of wary, really, security-wise, you know? And we never went out of the house, you know, because we had a sort of a largish garden with all the fruit trees in. We never wandered out of the house at all, out of the garden rather. So I think we probably were subconsciously aware of it. But because there was no television, and I never remember listening to the radio ever, you know, you didn't, not like nowadays, where the youngsters grow up with television and they, you know, they know all the news, really. We're kind of fairly sheltered from the outside world news and any local news, really, as well. Because actually, I don't remember listening to the radio, not at all. We used to go to the cinema, but it was the outdoor cinema where you took your car along and then they hooked up the earpiece to the outside, you know, to your window. And then you sat in the car and looked at the cinema in the huge screen. So you went into like a big field, basically. And you drove up, parked the car, hitched your sound onto the side of your window and watched the film from inside your car. And I remember doing that. And because we were young, we often used to go in pyjamas, you know, in our nightwear. And so we used to kind of sit in the back of the car. It was really cozy. Watch the film, cozied up, and then go home and straight into bed. It was really nice. Sounds bizarre, but because I don't remember, I never went to an indoor cinema there at all. It was always the outdoor cinemas.
What kind of films did you see there?
Oh, gosh. A Doris Day one. And I've forgotten the name of it. Don't Pick the Daisies is one of the songs that was in it, but I don't remember the name of the film. Don't Pick the Daisies, Don't Pick the Daisies. That's the only song, that's the only one I remember. Oh, and Ben Hur, I think, as well. Yes. Because that was my sister's favourite film.
Was that a treat, going to see Ben Hur?
Yes. Well, going to the cinema, full stop, it was a real treat, actually. And then also you had food, you see. They come around with burgers, not burgers, actually, they were hot dogs, which you know, had a little sort of a plate thing, which you hooked over to the, on your sort of window, and you ate the food and things, and also we took food to eat in the car. So it was a real treat. The best treat was going to the outdoor swimming pools, though, because, you know, the world is gorgeous, and the pools are massive there. It was lovely.
Do you swim a lot?
Yes. We just walk along the footpath and then walk down some steps and we're at the sea. And we have got a beach hut just along at the bottom of our house, really. But the house is about several hundred metres up because we're on the cliff top. But as I say, because we've got the steps nearby us, within 7 minutes of us leaving the house, we can be in the sea, basically. And this year, the sea has been absolutely wondrously hot, because we have the White Festival on the island, and that's in June. And after the festival, we always have all the family coming over for it, all my nephews and their girlfriends and things. They all come and stay in the house. They camp, and then they come on Sunday night, stay in the house. And Monday morning, after the Isle of Wight Festival, we all went down on into the sea. And that was June the 14th or 15th, about the 15th of June. And I had been in the sea up to then. I thought, oh, it's going to be really cold. But this year, it was incredibly hot, warm. So, I mean, it's always chilly getting in, 2 seconds in, and it was absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, so I try. I swam also with my son about 8 o'clock the other night, and again, it was still lovely and warm.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything else.
Thank you very much.
Good.
Oh, lovely. Thank